In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who gives us His story, that we might live it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we read out of Revelation today, right? Scary, spooky. Well, this one actually ended up not being too scary and spooky. I mean, the only big kind of strange thing that happens is that there's an angel, right? And we're sort of used to angels in the Bible, but it's not a many-headed dragon. Which is kind of what we expect out of Revelation, I think. We expect many-headed dragons, or maybe the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and we go to these apocalyptic books, the books of Revelation and books like Ezekiel and Daniel. When we go to these books, we expect there to be something kind of big and fantastic. And here we have John. We have an angel who says, John, don't worship me. And then we have Jesus making a cameo towards the end, right? He kind of does this aside and says, this is what this book is all about. Don't add anything to it. Don't take away anything. And but it's not like Ezekiel's kind of spacey wheel within a wheel thing happening. It's not the four beasts in Daniel or something else kind of crazy about those books. And a lot of times when we approach these books, we really want that. We want that in the same way that we kind of, every now and again, no matter who you are, you probably, every now and again, you want to go to a sci-fi or a fantasy movie. And you want to engage with those things that are, well, maybe a little bit different than your own life, but still have a little bit of similarity. And where that's been for myself and Liz here lately is we've been watching the Netflix original Hemlock Grove. Surprisingly well written up until the very last episode, which is trash. But keeps you wanting to go to the next series. So I guess, you know, marketing. And the thing about Hemlock Grove is that Hemlock Grove is a perfect picture of, I think, what we look for when we go to these apocalyptic books, is that it's kind of this thing that gets laid over our regular lives and gives it a certain kind of new thing. There are things in Hemlock Grove that don't happen in my backyard. At least, I hope they don't happen in my backyard. And those things involve, like, werewolves and people that are casting spells and potions and strange people that are working with other people's genetic codes and things like that. And it adds this sort of top layer to what the life is that I'm living right now. And so when we go to fantasy or we go to sci-fi, a lot of times that's what we're looking for. We're looking for something that is enough like our lives that we can place ourselves within the story, but yet enough outside of our lives that it brings some clarity to the stuff that's happening within our own lives. And so when we approach those movies, when we approach those stories, a lot of times the thing that we like about them is that there is a very clear delineation, usually, between what is good and what is evil. That there are bad guys and there are good guys. And, well, we can tell the difference, thank goodness, because that's difficult in our own lives, isn't it? I mean, that person that you don't like at work, or at school, or whatever, you might say, I don't like them. I don't know that you could actually bring yourself to say that they are the same kind of evil as Maleficent. Maybe. And if so, you probably need to find a new job. Or that person that you really like hanging around. Are they the same kind of good that you would look for from somebody? Are they the same kind of nobility and courage that you would look for in somebody that you would have go along with you to go and kill a dragon? Or are they just somebody who, well, you know, I can stand to have coffee with them every now and again? What those sci-fi and fantasy things do in our lives is they ramp up the good and the evil. They're like putting on polarizing sunglasses where all of the sudden the darkers get darker and the lights get lighter and things become a little bit easier for us to understand. And we like that because our lives are very confusing. And our lives are very confusing because, well, we're all kind of villains in our stories. Because we all commit these sins, and everything is kind of these shades of gray when we look at the world. When we look at the world, we see a world that is filled with, well, some sins that appear to be bigger sins than other sins. Some sins that, well, maybe that's not as big of a sin. And so we begin to compare and contrast, and we begin to kind of try to figure out, okay, what is evil here, and what is good here, and what is just kind of in between, and how do I make sense of a life that doesn't have these clear categories of good versus evil. And so I think we go to books like Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel and a lot of what we try finding in them, and maybe even the rest of Scripture actually, and what we try to find in them is this sense of good and evil in the same way that we look for that in a science fiction movie. Have you ever had the experience of maybe you were having an argument with somebody, or maybe there was this rivalry that was going on in your life, and you went to the movie theater, or something came on TBS, and you watched that movie, and as you were walking out into the from the movie theater parking lot, all of a sudden you had this incredible clarity about how that person actually is evil and how you should kill them. Maybe I'm alone. But you come away from those experiences and you go, that person is evil. I saw the things that they do. I saw those sins in this evil character, in this villain character, and those are the same things that this other person that I don't like, those are the same things that they do. Or maybe this one is a little bit more common. You're walking out of the movie theater into the parking lot. It's dark. You're full of popcorn. And yet, you know positively that you are the next action hero of your life. That you're just like that person that you watched on the screen. You have the same courage. You have the same sense of intrepid life. And you know for sure that that story can define the rest of your week, at least. And so we go back to our offices or to our classrooms or to our homes, and we believe that we are Bilbo Baggins. Or we believe that we are Spider-Man or Wolverine or whoever it is. And that other person in the office, well, you know who they are. And it's all in this effort to try to make sense of life. Because life is confusing. Because as the angel told to John, there continue to be the filthy. There continue to be the doers of evil. There continue to be the righteous. There continue to be the holy. And yet in our lives, those things aren't quite so clearly delineated. And so we need a story to inform us which is which. And sometimes those stories are very important because they tell us if an action that we're contemplating or an action that we did was the right thing to do or if it was the wrong thing to do. And we can go back to those stories and we begin to get a sense of, okay, who am I in my own story? Am I a villain or am I the good guy? Am I the protagonist? And if so, who is my ally and who are the villains? Well, God actually gives us a story like that. And people use his story in the wrong way a lot of times in order to make things, well, just too black and white. Or black and white in the wrong ways. It's like they reversed the colors. But God's story actually does inform us and tell us there is good and there is evil. And that's what our souls are crying out for, is just that knowledge of good and evil. That's the thing that we have been so confused about ever since the first sin and up until this point in Revelation. We need a story to help us figure it out. Because when we tasted the fruit of good and evil as humanity in Adam and Eve, we knew good and evil. Not necessarily that we knew good versus evil. Not necessarily that we knew the difference between the two, but that we knew both of them. And the story of humanity has been this story of trying to figure out which, as those things still swirl around each other and confuse us time and time again. And so God gives us his story and he says, listen to this story. It will tell you what is good. It will tell you what is evil. Listen to the story. And at the center of that story is a man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, who so that the story would work out, came down and died on a cross so that you could see what good was versus evil. And so when the angel comes to John and says, don't shut the book. Yes, let the evildoers continue to be evildoers. Let the filthy continue to be filthy. Those will have to be there in order for the story to work. Let the righteous do righteous things. Let the holy continue to be holy. That's what the story is all about. This epic battle of good versus evil. And you're a part of the story. You've been brought into that story as the bride of Christ. You've been brought into this story as the son or daughter of God the Father. You have been brought into this story by the mystical work of the Holy Spirit who makes you God's body, the body of Jesus Christ, continuing on as he is in heaven. This story is our story, the story that begins to play out in our lives. And here at the end of this series, we've come to the end of that story. And it's about time to walk out into the movie theater parking lot. And maybe you're full of, well, we don't ever serve popcorn here. Bagels and coffee. And as you walk out into that movie theater parking lot, into this church parking lot, or onto campus, think about that story. Let that story lay over the top of your life and give you clarity about good and evil. And know that, first of all, it's a real story. And secondly, that you are on the side of the good guy. Amen.